for the co-host. There we go.
Okay. The Daf Yomi started Maseches Chagiga, and the first third of the Masechta discusses the karbanis, the private karbanis that every individual would be obligated to bring on a Yom Tif, on the three regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. There are three different karbanis that every individual would be chayiv to bring. That's the first third of the Masechta. The second third of the Masechta is some fabulous agadata that talks about the Maisa Merkava and Maisa Bracious. It speaks about Acher, the famous Talmud Chacham who went off the Derech and did Tshuva before he passed away. And then the third Chelik of the Masechta speaks about Inyani Tyrus, because the Gemara says there that everybody would become Tahar for the Regel, so the Gemara takes the opportunity to speak about in Yoni Tair. So it's a fascinating Masechta that covers a full gamut of different topics. Like I said, the first third of the Masechta speaks about Re'iyah and Chagiga. So it's a bit of an off topic. It's a bit of an unchartered water, so to speak. But the more we speak about these things, the more real they become. And as we know, the Gemara tells us specifically regarding Karbanis, that the world stands on the merit of the Karbanis, and the more we learn about the various Karbanis, it's as if we brought them, and who knows, maybe by the time Pesach comes, it's right around the corner, maybe Mashiach would have come by then, and we'll actually have the opportunity to be able to bring these special Karbanis that are associated with the Regal. So let's learn a little bit about the Karban Re'iyah and the Karban Chagiga. And most of this comes from the Gemaras at the beginning of Maseches Chagiga. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Chagiga, Davav Amud Beis, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Shalosh mitzvahs nitzdavu Yisrael ba'aloisim l'regel. When the Jewish people go up to Yerushalayim on the regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, these are the regalim, the pilgrimages, the times of the year that we're all expected to go to Yerushalayim, there are three specific mitzvahs that we're commanded to do. Number one, there's the Re'iyah. It's a special carbon referred to as the carbon Re'iyah. This is the carbon that we offer to Hashem when we present ourselves to Hashem. The way the Pasuk describes it, we come into the Azara, we come into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and we're presenting ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're coming to see and we're coming to appear. We're coming to present ourselves before Hashem. We bring a special carbon, a carbon Re'iyah. We also bring a Chagiga. A Chagiga is a one-time carbon. It's a shlamim. It's a carbon that we eat. It's a one-time carbon that we're obligated to bring sometime during the Yom Tif, the first day preferable. And finally, Simcha. The Gemara tells us, a Mishnah in Masechta Sukkah, that the Simcha is called Shmona. We're obligated in Simchas HaRegel all 8 days of Sukkos, including Shmini Atzeres, all 7 days of Pesach. Shavuos, we're obligated in Simcha, and the Gemara, through various psukim and various derivations, the Gemara teaches us that that refers to eating Basar Kachim, eating the meat of Basar Kachim. We've spoken about this in the past. Tosfos' opinion is that one can only fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov with Basar Kachim. And nowadays, when we have the mitzvah of Simchas Regel, we can only fulfill it in a rabbinic fashion. But the Rambam, we quoted the Rambam not too long ago, the Rambam holds that although the optimum kiyum is through the Simchas, eating the Kachim, eating the Basar Kachim, but we can fulfill it in a smaller way with anything that brings us Simcha. So we have these three mitzvahs, the mitzvahs of Korban Re'iyah, which is to offer a burnt offering upon appearing in the Azara. We have the mitzvahs Chagiga, which is a korban in honor of the festival. Chagiga is like the word Chag, it's in honor of the festival, it's a shlamim, it's something that we can eat. And then finally we have, every day of the Yom Tif, we have a mitzvah of Simcha, to eat, to offer and eat the basar kachim that are offered in the Beis Hamikdash. The Rambam elaborates on this. The Rambam tells us, Ayin Rambam, In Hilchas Chagiga, the Gemara, the Rambam tells us in Hilchas Chagiga, he elaborates on what the Gemara just said. Shalosh mitzvahs asei, there are three positive commandments, Nitzavu Yisrael, b'chol regel. There are three positive commandments that the Jewish people are commanded to do every regel. Mishleishu regel. Be'eluhain, these are they. Number one, hara'iyah. Number one, there's the korban re'iyah, and he brings a pasuk shenemar, ye'ro'eh kol zechorcha, that every male should appear before Hashem. Chagiga, what's the chagiga? Shenemar tochuk l'Hashem ulekecha. We should rejoice. We should rejoice with Hashem, and that's referring to the korban chagiga that we bring in honor of the holiday. And finally, b'hasimcha, these are the korbanis that we bring in order to have sacrificial meat, in order to eat and enjoy. Shenemar v'samachta b'chagecha. The Rambam goes on to explain what each korban is. Ha-re'iyah ha-mora v'atayrah. What is the mitzvah of re'iyah that we present ourselves before Hashem in the Azara, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash? So says the Rambam, hu shi'yira panav ba'azara. We have to show our face. We have to show up in the Azara. We have to present ourselves in the Azara, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. B'yamtiv ha-rishon shalchalak, on the first day of Yamtiv. V'yavi imoy korban oila. And we have to bring with us a burnt offering. Bein min ha'of, bein min ha-behema, whether the burnt offering is a bird, because one can offer a bird, a tar or b'nei yoina, he can offer turtle doves or doves, pigeons, for a burnt offering. He can fulfill his obligation of the burnt offering with an oaf, with a korban oaf, or bein min ha-behema, or whether it's an animal, he can bring a sheep or a goat or a cow, a bull, as an ola, he can bring that as an ola. It's interesting because the Rambam says you can use a bird, an oaf, as a fulfillment of the korban re'iyah, and the Gemara, at least according to the Girsa we have, says explicitly that you can only fulfill the mitzvah with a behema. The Rambam must have had a different Girsa, the Mefarshim explained, and we can even fulfill the mitzvah of oilas re'iyah with an oaf. That's the shita of the Rambam. Now the Rambam says something very interesting. Misha bala azara biyom risha. If someone comes to the courtyard of the azara on the first day, the lo hevi ola, and he neglects to bring the ola, so what would we say? We would say, and this is what the Yushalmi actually holds, we would say that there are two separate mitzvahs here. One mitzvah is to present oneself in the Beis HaMikdash, and the other mitzvah is to bring an olas riyah. There's two separate halachas, but the Rambam has a chiddush. This is the chiddush of the Rambam. The Rambam says, one who enters the Azara on the first day and does not bring the Ola, lo dayo shloi osa mitzvah saseh, not only did he not fulfill the positive commandment of Yireh kol zechorcha, that a person should present himself in the Azara, not only did he not fulfill the positive mitzvah, elo sha'over al mitzvah shloi saseh, not only didn't he fulfill the positive commandment, but he violated a negative commandment because the pasuk says, "La'yiru panai rekam," you're not allowed to come empty-handed. This is a chiddush of the Rambam. The Turi Yevin discusses this. This is the chiddush of the Rambam, that these two mitzvahs, presenting oneself in the Azara and not coming empty-handed, these two mitzvahs are interdependent. And if the person comes empty-handed, he doesn't bring with him the Ola, the halacha is that he did not even fulfill the positive commandment. Let alone did he violate the negative commandment. It says explicitly you can't come empty-handed. It has to be brought in combination with the korban re'iyah. But not only that, he even didn't fulfill the positive commandment. That's the chiddush of the Shitas HaRambam. That the Einu Loika Alav Zeh, the Rambam says, but there's no malchus for this aveira. Sha'arei le'osa maisa, because he didn't do an action. So what does that mean, he didn't do an action? He did walk into the Azara empty-handed. Why isn't that considered an action? So the Mefarshim explained, because he was actually technically obligated to walk into the Azara. He just should have brought with himself a carbon. So since he walked in, beheter, so to speak, he just neglected to bring the carbon, the violation is considered passive. It's not considered active. The problem here wasn't that he walked in with an action. The problem was that he neglected to bring with himself the carbon ola, the korban re'iyah, that's supposed to accompany. So it's sort of a passive violation, although he walked in. But it's a passive, it'll be almost like wearing a four-cornered garment without putting tzitzis on. Although you put the garment on, and that clearly involves an action. But the violation was passive, because the violation was that you did not put tzitzis onto the four-cornered garment. So the act of putting on the beged is not the avera. The avera was not putting the tzitzis on the beged. It's a passive violation. So there's no malchus. It's a lav she'en b'maisa. It's considered shava al taisa. The same thing applies here. The pasuk says you can't come in empty-handed. That's true. But when he walked in, technically he's obligated to walk in. The problem was that he never fulfilled it. He never followed up with the korban re'iyah. So not only did he get the avera of coming in empty-handed, it nullifies his positive commandment retroactively. He didn't end up fulfilling the positive commandment, but you can't consider it a positive violation of the law. It's a passive violation of the law. That's how the Rambam describes the mitzvah of re'iyah. The person comes into the azara, he's obligated to present himself before Hashem. Secondly, there's a mitzvah to bring with you a korban ola, a burnt offering. The Rambam says that if you neglect to bring the burnt offering, not only did you violate lo yira panai rekam, you came empty-handed, but retroactively, you didn't even end up fulfilling the mitzvah of yira kol zechorcha yira yeroeh, to appear before Hashem, because you didn't fulfill the condition of bringing the korban re'iyah. That's how the Rambam describes the mitzvah of korban re'iyah and re'iyas p'nei azara. We're going to get back to this later on. Then the Rambam goes on to say, what's the mitzvah of chagiga? The mitzvah of chagiga is to bring the special korban. It's a shlamim. It's a korban that we're able to eat in honor of the yontif. Ha-chagiga ha-amura ba-toyra hu shi-yakriv shlamim b'yomtif rishim shochag. The mitzvah of chagiga is to bring a special shlamim in honor of the yomtif on the first day of yomtif. Kishiyovoy laharay is when you come in to present yourself to Hashem. V'hadavar yedua, and this the Rambam says already, that it's known, she'ein shlamim boyim elamin abahema, that a carbon shlamim can only be brought from with an animal. You cannot bring. There is no carbon shlamim from a bird. So this you will have to do with an animal. This is where the discussion comes in, by the way. If on Yom Tif, eating fowl, chicken or duck, oifas, is that a kiyum of simcha, or do we say ein simcha ela b'basar? Because the shlamim that we bring in the base of Mikdash had to have been a behema. Ushtei mitzvahs elu, both of these mitzvahs, shehen ha-re'iyah v'ha-chagiga, both of these mitzvahs, the korban re'iyah and the korban chagiga, ein ha-nashim chayavis bahen, women are not obligated. These are time-related mitzvahs, women are not obligated. V'ha-simcha, what is the mitzvah of simcha? This was the third mitzvah associated with the Yom Tov. Hu she'yakriv shlamim yeser al shalmi chagiga, besides the korban chagiga that's being brought in honor of the Yom Tov, there's a separate independent mitzvah to bring shlamim. Ve'elu hein hanikroim shalmei simcha. These are the karbonis that are referred to as the shlamim that we're bringing specifically to have simcha, to have basar kadshim, to eat and enjoy. And that's how we fulfill the mitzvah of simcha. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'zovachta shlamim v'yochalta sham esomachta l'fein shem l'kecha, that we should bring special shlamim and eat them there in Yerushalayim and rejoice before Hashem. The way we rejoice is by enjoying the special basar kadshim. We're eating before Hashem because we're eating basar kodesh. And on this, the Rambam says, Nashim chayavas b'mitzvah zu, women are obligated in this mitzvah, even though it's a time-related mitzvah. The Mefarshim explained, the Gemara says that this mitzvah is really attached to the husband, and the husband has an obligation to rejoice his wife. We spoke about that in previous shiurim, and that's why the women have to participate in the mitzvah of simcha as well. These are the three mitzvahs that we have to fulfill on a Yom Tov. Like we said before, Haba Aleinu L'Toyva, Mashiach should come speedily in our day, that we should once again have the opportunity to perform these mitzvahs, which must have been beautiful, a beautiful, inspiring experience in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Gemara tells us there's an interesting distinction that the Gemara seems to be making between the Korban Re'iyah and the Korban Chagiga. The Gemara tells us on Daf Zayin, this is item Dalit in the notes, there's a machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan regarding bringing a Korban Re'iyah. Now, the core mitzvah is to go into the Beis HaMikdash, and that's preferable on the first day of the Yontif. You present yourself in the Beis HaMikdash, and you bring your Korban Re'iyah. And this Korban Re'iyah can even be offered on the first day of Yontif. There's a Machaikas Reish Lakish and Rav Yechanan. What happens if a person wants to go into the Beis HaMikdash a second time, a third time? What if he wants to visit the Beis HaMikdash on Chol HaMoed? So, like it is nowadays, when a person goes to Eretz Yisrael, you go to the Kosel, you go multiple times. You go when you first get there, you go more, you want to experience standing before Hashem by the Kosel. So imagine in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, a person would go up to Yerushalayim, he would fulfill the minimum requirement of going to the Azara on the first day, he would bring the requisite Karbanis on the first day, but now he wants to go to the Beis HaMikdash a second time. So what happens now? He wants to fulfill the mitzvah of Re'iyah again. So there's a machlekes Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about bringing the Karbanis. When he goes into the Beis HaMikdash a second time, a third time, Chol HaMoed, he goes all through Yom Tov, every day he goes into the Beis HaMikdash. What about the Karban Re'iyah? Rabbi Yochanan says, Iboy Mevi, Iboy Loy Mevi, that you can either bring a Karban or you don't have to bring a Karban. The Pasuk says that the core mitzvah is to present yourself in the Beis HaMikdash, and loy, the Pasuk says, V'loy yiru panai reikam, you can't come empty-handed. So he didn't come empty-handed because he brought the Karban the first day, and he's just extending, he's fulfilling, nachamol, he's fulfilling the mitzvah of Re'iyas Pnei Azara, of presenting himself in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash multiple times. He's not coming empty-handed because it's all covered by the original Karban that he brought the first day. Rabbi Yochanan says, you have a choice. You can either bring another Karban Re'iyah as an extra, a bonus, or you don't have to, because you're no longer in violation of La'ira Panay Rekam, because you're covered by the first Karban that you brought. So you can fulfill the mitzvah of Re'iyah multiple times, and it does not require you every time to bring another Karban Re'iyah. That's Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish holds, Tzarech Lahavi Kol Pan. Every time you come to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to bring a Karban Re'iyah each and every time. That's Reish Lakish's opinion. Rabbi Yochanan holds, you're covered by the first Karban Re'iyah that you brought on day one. You're no longer in violation of La'ira Panay Rekam. It's no longer called that you're entering empty-handed because you brought something the first time. Now you can go off and fulfill the mitzvah of Riyas Pnei Azara multiple times, and it's all covered under the first Karban. But Reish Lakish says that every time you fulfill the mitzvah of Riyas Pnei Azara, of presenting yourself and appearing before Hashem in the courtyard, every time that has to be accompanied with a Karban Re'iyah. The second version of this machlekes in the Gemara there is one step up. The Gemara says that according to Reish Lakish, you have a choice, but Rabbi Yochanan says that you're not allowed to bring a Karban the second time because it will be a violation of Baal Tosef, that you're doing more than you're required to do. You're adding to the mitzvah, and you're not allowed to do that. So it's quite the opposite. We don't paskin like that. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan according to the first version, or conversely, Reish Lakish according to the second version. We paskin that the obligation to bring the Karban only applies the first time. You can continue to fulfill the mitzvah and to enjoy the mitzvah of Re'iyas Pnei Azara multiple times throughout the Chag. You're not required to bring a Karban each time, but you could if you want to. If you want to bring a Karban, you could, but you're not obligated to. That's how we paskin, and that's how the Rambam paskins in Hilchas Chagiga, Perek Beis, Halacha Vav. That's regarding the Karban Re'iyah. There's another Gemara that speaks about the Karban Chagiga, which is similar, but it's different. The Gemara tells us on Daf Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us that the Karban Chagiga, the minimal requirement for the Karban Chagiga was 2 ma kesef, 2 small silver coins. But the Gemara tells us that the more the better. If a person has many oichlin, a person has a large family, so he can bring multiple chagigas, he can bring a lot of chagigas. So the Gemara says, imagine, the Gemara says, hifrish yoyser mibehema achas. This is item hey. The Gemara says there, imagine if the person separated, he designated 10 animals to be his Karban Chagiga. So he intends to to fulfill the obligation of Chagiga, which is the special carbon in honor of the holiday, he plans to fulfill that mitzvah with 10 animals, one big offering of Chagiga, a 10 animal offering of Chagiga, and that'll all be a fulfillment of his mitzvah of Chagiga. So the Gemara says an interesting thing. If he didn't bring all 10 animals on the first day, as he planned to do, now there's a whole question if he's allowed to bring them the second day. So the Gemara says like this, it depends. If he planned on bringing all 10 animals the first day, and just something happened that he didn't end up bringing them all the first day, so he can make up and bring the remaining animals the second day or the third day. He was mefarish. When he designated the animals, he specifically declared that I realize there's only one mitzvah of Chagiga. I want all of these 10 animals to be the fulfillment, to go towards the fulfillment of what my single mitzvah of Chagiga. It's just that for whatever reason, I didn't get around to offering them all the first day. So I offered 5 the first day. I'm going to offer the second 5 the second day, not because I want to create another obligation. I don't mean to add to the mitzvah. I mean to fulfill the requirement of the first day. I'm continuing to do the requirement of the first day. It's a tashlumin. So I designated 10 animals the first day. I wanted to bring them all the first day. I didn't get around to it. So I can continue offering these karbanis all betoiras, all under the original mitzvah of the Chagiga, and that's not considered adding to the mitzvah because it's just an extension of the original fulfillment. It's a tashlumin of the first day. However, if you did not specifically say that you want all of these 10 animals to go towards the first chiyuv, the one and only chiyuv, and you brought 5 the first day, and you neglected to bring the second 5, and you just decided arbitrarily to bring them the second day, then we're afraid that you're violating Baal Tosef. Maybe the bringing of the animals the second day, after you already fulfilled the mitzvah the first day, we're concerned that you're declaring on some level that there's another mitzvah to bring Chagiga. And there's only one mitzvah to bring a Chagiga. So then you're violating Baal Tosef, you're adding on to the mitzvah. So if you bring them all the first day, they're all going towards the one fulfillment, one big fulfillment of the first mitzvah to offer a korban chagiga. If you left over some the second day, if you were mefarish, if you specifically explained when you were sanctifying the animals that you realized they're all for the one and only obligation the first day, then you can continue bringing them because it's just a tashlumin. You're just continuing to fulfill your first and only obligation. But if you didn't specifically declare that, if you just are bringing karbanis throughout the regel, we consider that a violation of Baal Tosef. It's considered that you're adding on to the mitzvah. That is what it says by Chagiga. And the Rambam passes like that as well. The Rambam paskins in Perek Beis, Halacha Zayin, according to the Lecha Mishnah, the Rambam is paskining like this, that to bring extra Chagigas on day 2 and day 3 and day 4 is a potential violation of Baal Tosef, of adding on to the mitzvah. That's what the Gemara says. So the obvious question here is, which I ended off in item Hay, Sarachian, why is it that when it comes to the carbon re'iyah, so we're not concerned with Baal Tosef. We learned earlier that the way we paskin is that you can come into the Azara multiple times throughout the Yomtif, and each time you can voluntarily, it's optional, you're allowed to bring another re'iyah as a carbon re'iyah. You can bring another ola as a carbon re'iyah, and there's no concern of Baal Tosef. When it comes to the Chagiga, we say that you can only fulfill the mitzvah of Chagiga once, and if you attempt to fulfill it a second time, that would be a violation of Baal Tosef. What's the difference between the carbon re'iyah and the carbon Chagiga? In both cases, there's only one obligation. You're not obligated to come multiple times. Rabbi Yochanan says you can even come without bringing a carbon. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan says that it's optional. If you would like to bring more re'iyas throughout the yomtif, you're entitled to. You're allowed to. There's no issue about twice if you're not adding on to the mitzvah. But when it comes to the carbon chagiga, over there the Torah says that you can only bring one and you can't add on.
Why can't we say that every time you're coming, that's a re'iyah, that could attach itself to a carbon.
So
the mice coming and seen and being seen, that's a separate, that's like a hood.
So that's very good. That's very good. So we're going to elaborate on that. Yes, so we're going to explain that. That's how we're going to go. Now, it's interesting. I found the Me'iri. The Me'iri, there's very little Rishonim on Maseches Chagiga. It's not one of the Masechtas that are more commonly learned. It's interesting that there are hardly any Rishonim on Maseches Chagiga. There's a Me'iri. The Me'iri says on Daf Ches, he actually brings an alternative pshat in the Gemara on Daf Ches. Daf Ches was the Gemara we just learned, that we just cited, that you're not allowed to bring multiple Chagigas. The Me'iri there has an alternative pshat. He brings two different pshatim. Perhaps the Gemara doesn't mean that there's an Aveira of Baal Tosif to bring more Chagigas. All it means is that if he designated 10 animals and he brought 5 the first day, so he's not obligated to bring the remaining 5 as a Chagiga. He can just bring them as a Shlomim. He can wait till after Yom Tov. He can bring them anytime he wants during the year as an ordinary carbon shlamim, as a regular neder or nedava. It doesn't mean that he's over Baal Tosif. The Gemara means to say that if you separate it, if you designated them specifically to be a chagiga, then the halacha is they have to be brought as a chagiga sometime during the Yom Tov. But if you did not specifically designate them as one chagiga, then you have a choice. You can either bring them the next day as a chagiga, or you can bring it after Yom Tov as an ordinary neder or nedava, an ordinary voluntary offering. And the Me'iri there says, just like the Re'iya. The Me'iri is alluding to this question. Just like Rabbi Yochanan said on Dav Zayin, that you're allowed to bring multiple Re'iyas, so the Me'iri brings an alternate pshat in on the Gemara, that you can even bring the Chagiga multiple times. The Gemara just means that you don't have to bring it as a Chagiga. Someone sent in the question, can you use the carbon chagiga to fulfill your obligation of simcha? We mentioned that there are three separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of re'iya, there's a mitzvah of chagiga, and a mitzvah of simcha. So can you use the chagiga? Can you kill two birds with one stone, so to speak? Can you use the mitzvah of chagiga in order to fulfill the shalmei simcha? So I saw that there were those who were medayik. If you scroll back to item gimel, the last few lines in the paragraph ayin gimel, I quoted the Rambam. The simcha hamura batoy b'regalim is sheyakriv shlomim yoiser al shalmei chagiga. The mitzvah is to bring shlomim in addition to the shalmei chagiga, and those are referred to as shalmei simcha. So I saw those who are medayik in the Rambam, that the Rambam holds you cannot use the chagiga to also fulfill the mitzvah of simcha. You have to bring additional karbanis of simcha over and above the mitzvah of chagiga. Although you can fulfill the mitzvah of simcha with prior obligatory karbanis, but the Torah's intent is to bring, to eat meat besides the chagiga. I saw those that are medayik that in the Rambam. The Chazon Ish does not learn the Rambam like that. So it could be it's a question if you can use the one chagiga to also fulfill the mitzvah of simcha as long as that basa would last. That's an interesting question. The simple reading of the Rambam would be that it has to be an additional carbon. In any case, we're asking a question here. What's the difference between the carbon re'iya and the carbon chagiga? According to Rashi, the carbon re'iya could be brought multiple times whenever you enter the Azar. According to Rashi, the carbon chagiga could only be brought towards the original obligation, and if it's clear that you're exempt from a previous obligation, you would not be permitted to bring more karbanis subsequently throughout the Yom Tov as a chagiga. It would be a violation of Baal Tosif. The question is, what's the difference? And the Me'iri acknowledges this difficulty because the Me'iri brings an alternative pshat, that's not what the Gemara means to say. The carbon chagiga is exactly like the carbon re'iya, that you're allowed to bring it multiple times. The Gemara just means that you're not obligated to bring it as a chagiga. Once you brought the first chagiga, your yotze, and the remaining animals, you can either bring it as a chagiga, or you can bring it as an ordinary shlamim, even after the Yom Tov. That's all the Gemara means. But the fact remains that Rashi holds, and the Me'iri brings Rashi's pshat as well, that there's an isser of Baal Tosif to bring multiple chagigas, even though there's no isser of Baal Tosif to bring multiple karbanis re'iyah. So the question stands, what's the difference between the karban re'iyah and the karban chagigah? I saw others ask, and this is a fascinating, this is an interesting concept. What is Baal Tosef? What is Baal Tosef? Baal Tosef means to add on to the mitzvah. So are you allowed to pick up your lulav more than one time during the day? So in shul, you pick up your lulav and you make a bracha. And can I pick up the lulav again? So we do it all the time. A lot of people, they bench lulav before davening. They have a cup of coffee or they bench lulav in the sukkah. And then what do? They come to shul and then they pick up the lulav again during hallel. So we do the mitzvah multiple times all the time. Or let's say shofar. Every Rosh Hashanah, we blow the 30 koilis tekiyas demiyushav. We blow the 30 koilis before Shmona Esrei, and then we blow the 30 koilis again after Shmona Esrei, during the Chazaras Hashat, or during the Shmona Esrei, we blow the shofar multiple times. What about duchening? What about a kohen? If a kohen already was yoytze the mitzvah of the duchen, of the Birkas Kohanim in shul, and then imagine if another minion downstairs or somewhere else requires a kohen to duchen. So very often they call the kohen back and he does it again. He's fulfilling the mitzvah multiple times. And that's not considered Baal Tosef. That's Shitas Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah. That when it comes to duchening, you're being motzi acher. But let's say even picking up the lulav for yourself. Right? Tosfos discusses it by duchening. By duchening, the chiyuv is not on the tzibur. The chiyuv is on the kohen to give a bracha to the tzibur. The chiyuv is not per se on the. We all want to hear the bracha, but the emor lahem, when we say koyhanim, the summoning of the prompting of the kohen, that triggers an obligation on the kohen. So can the kohen fulfill this mitzvah multiple times throughout the day? So the answer is yes. Tosfos says yes. It's not considered Baal Tosef. It's only considered Baal Tosef is if you're adding to the mitzvah itself. You're changing the nature of the mitzvah by adding to the mitzvah itself. So, for example, you attach 5 batim to the tefillin instead of the 4. Or let's say one who sits in the sukkah on the 8th day of sukkahs, not the way we do because it's a suffix, but if you would be sitting in the sukkah on the 8th day in Eretz Yisrael, where you're attempting to add on to the mitzvah, you're changing the nature of the chiyuv. You're saying the chiyuv is an 8-day chiyuv as opposed to a 7-day chiyuv, that would be Baal Tosef because you're changing the nature, you're adding to the actual mitzvah. But performing the same mitzvah multiple times is not a shaila of Baal Tosef. So the question would be, why is it that you can't offer multiple chagigas throughout the yantif? So Rashi on Daf Chesam Beis, and then Reb Ezra, we're going to get to your chilek, we're going to elaborate on that as well. Rashi on Daf Chesam Beis seems to say a simple distinction between the two. Rashi says like this, that if the person designated all 10 animals to be a fulfillment of his one chiyuv chagiga, so he's allowed to bring them throughout the yomtiv because his intent was that they should all be a fulfillment of the original one chiyuv of day one. Says Rashi, if his intent is to merely continue fulfilling the first day's obligation, that's not Baal Tosef. V'rachmana omar v'chagoysim oisoi. Even though the Torah says v'chagoysim oso, that you should rejoice on it, referring to one and only carbon, v'chagoysim oso, you should rejoice with that carbon, chad yoim v'suloi, only one day and not more. So Rashi bavarns, Rashi explains, Rashi is anticipating a question. Even if his intent is to bring all the karbanis in the fulfillment of the first day, Rashi says that's okay because we do not say that he's over Baal Tosef because he's adding to the mitzvah. The Torah says it's a one-time obligation, mechagoysim oso, and he is bringing more obligations. We don't say that because since his intent was to bring it as fulfillment of the first day, everything he's doing is just a tashlumin, it's an extension of the first day's obligation. So Rashi is clear that the issue of Baal Tosef by the Chagiga is because the Torah specifically says, oso, it, lashon yachid, with one. The obligation is one obligation of Chagiga. When it comes to the oilas ru'iyah, the Torah doesn't put a cap on it. The Torah doesn't say that there's only one obligation specifically. When it comes to the Oilas Ri'iya, we treat it like any other mitzvah. Just like you can pick up the lulav and shake the lulav multiple times, you can also fulfill the mitzvah of Oilas Ri'iya multiple times. But when it comes to the mitzvah of Chagiga, there's a shear in the bringing of the Chagiga. Oh, so, Belashen Yachid, there's one obligation and not more. So you can bring as many animals as you want to fulfill that one obligation, but if your intent is to declare that there's a separate obligation, that would be Baal Tosef. It's all about his kavana. It's a dakus. It's splitting hairs, because really, both people are doing the same thing. Both people are bringing karbanas chagiga throughout the regel. It all depends on what your intent is. If your intent is to use all of these karbanas to fulfill the one and only original obligation, and this is just a tashlumen, that's okay. But if your intent is to create another obligation, that would be a problem. We find a similar thing when it comes to the mitzvah of lulav itself. The mitzvah of lulav itself, you're allowed to pick up the lulav multiple times, as we said earlier. But the halacha says like this, in Shulchan Aruch, Tafresh Nun Aleph, Halacha Tezvav. So it says like this. Lo yitol yoyse milulav echad. You're not allowed to take more than one lulav. Imagine if in the bundle, in the agad, there will be more than one lulav. Two lulav. Or imagine if a person takes two esregim at the same time. So some people are makbid, they like two different esregim. One is a Yemenite esreg, one is a Chazanish esreg. So they pick up each esreg separately. That's okay, because you can fulfill the mitzvah multiple times. But to pick up more than one esrig at a time, that would be an aveira, that would be Baal Tosef. You're not allowed to take more than one lulav or more than one esrig. Avo ba'arava, or the hadas, you're allowed to add, because you're doing it to beautify the mitzvah. Your intent is not to add. However, the Shulchan Aruch says, hamidaktikim, but those that are particular, those that are especially particular with mitzvahs, are not moisif on the two aravis, or the gimel hadasim. And the Poskim explain, because again, there's still a potential Baal Tosef, because whenever the Torah describes a shear, the Gemara in Sukkah has drushes that there are two Aravis and three Hadassim specifically, whenever you add on to the shear, that would be an Isser of Baal Tosef. So a person can perform the mitzvah multiple times, but if you add on to the amounts, to the components of the mitzvah, you take two lulavim at the same time, you have five compartments on your tefillin, you put on five tzitzis instead of four. Anytime the person is changing and adding to the components of the mitzvah, that will be Baal Tosef. So adding to the requisite amount of hadassim and aravis would be a potential Baal Tosef. And the same thing applies to the mitzvah of chagiga, because the pasuk says, oso. So that would be a simple distinction between the mitzvah of Oilas Ri'iya and Oilas Chagiga, that it's just a textual difference. For whatever reason, when it comes to the mitzvah's Oilas Ri'iya, the Torah didn't put a cap on it. But when it comes to the mitzvah of Chagiga, the pasuk describes the mitzvah b'lashin yachid, which we learn from there is a miut. It precludes us from performing the mitzvah multiple times if our intent is to treat it as if there are multiple chiyuvim. That would be a distinction. But I wanted to be magdir, I wanted to clarify, to expound on this, and we can explain the distinction in a deeper way. Ezra, this is along the lines of what you were trying to say. The gedder of the carbon ri'iya is different than the carbon chagiga. Now, we're going to come back to that Rambam that we started with. The Rambam, there's another interesting Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Yud. Hamafrish Oilas Ri'asa Umes. So Loyaleinu, what happens if the person sanctified, he consecrated an animal to be his carbon ri'iya, and then the person, he entered the Beis HaMikdash, but then he passed away, and he never had a chance to bring the carbon ri'iya. So the Rambam tells us, Hayorshin Chayavin Lahavia, that his heirs have to bring the carbon ri'iya on his behalf, even though he's no longer among the living, but he entered the Beis HaMikdash, he had a carbon ri'iya on call. So we have to bring the carbon ri'iya, even though the owner, the Baal HaKarbon, is no longer alive. A pretty straightforward halacha, because a carbon ola can be brought even if the owner passed away. But the Kesef Mishnah and the Lecha Mishnah ask an interesting question. Why did the Rambam phrase the halacha that he already was mafrish, that he already consecrated the animal? Why did the Rambam say hifrish? We paskin that shibuda d'oraisa. Shibuda d'oraisa means that whenever the person has a monetary obligation, so it automatically mortgages, it automatically creates a shibud, it encumbers his property. So let's say, for example, I damage you. If I damage you and I owe you money, so even though there's no shtar, there's no documentation, as long as we know about it, my property, my assets already become a shibud. And if I would sell my land now to somebody else, the nizik, the one who was damaged, he'd be allowed to go after that property and collect it from the lekuchas, because shibuda d'oraisa, the fact that you owe money to somebody, automatically creates a lien on the property, and you have to fulfill that obligation. The land, your assets themselves, have a shibud, they have, there's a lien that's automatically effective onto the property. And that's actually the halacha when it comes to karbanis also. Not only to monetary bin adam l'chaveh, right? It even applies to karbanis. So for example, if lo yaleinu, if God forbid, a woman has a baby, so the halacha is that the woman has to bring karbanis at the end. She's mechusar kapara, in order to resume eating kachim and taking off a special tumah that applied, she would eventually have to bring karbanis. What if lo yaleinu, the woman passes away? So she already was obligated to bring those karbanis, and her yorshim, they have to take money from her assets, and they have to be mafrish a karban and bring the karban. The difference is, even if the woman did not designate any specific animal as her karban, the halacha is that the heirs have to take her assets, and they have to separate, take money from the Yerusha, and they have to buy a carbon, be mafresh it, and bring it. So normally the halacha is that there's automatically a lien on the property, and the yorshim have to go ahead and buy a carbon and bring the carbon on behalf of the deceased. So the Kesef Mishnah and the Lecha Mishnah ask, why does the Rambam say regarding the carbon re'ia that it's only if the owner already was mafresh the carbon? Because this is an obligation to bring the carbon, we should have to bring the carbon on his behalf, even if he was not mafresh the carbon at all. That's the kasha of the Lecha Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah. So there's a Gemara in Kedushin that says it's chala shibud on the nechasim, and it's shibud d'oraisa. The Rambam himself brings that halacha, that if a person is obligated to bring a certain carbon, even if the person passes away before he even had a chance to be mafresh, the halacha is that the heirs, they have to take from the remaining estate and purchase an animal and bring the carbon on behalf of the deceased. So why does the Rambam specify here that we only have to bring the carbon if the owner, before he passed away, already designated the carbon? So coming back to the original Rambam that we started with, the Chiddush of the Rambam, that the mitzvah, the carbon re'iyah, is part and parcel of the mitzvah of re'iyah p'nei azara. The Rambam says, and we quoted this Rambam earlier, Mi shabola azara b'yom rishon, a person who enters the azara on the first day, v'loy hevi ola, and he never ends up bringing the ola, loy dayosh loy asa mitzvah saseh, not only did he not fulfill the mitzvah of presenting himself re'iyah p'nei azara, he even violated a loisase. The pasuk says, "La yuru panai rekam." You can't enter empty-handed. We see from this Rambam, and not everybody agrees to the Rambam. We see from this Rambam that the geder of the oilas ria, the obligation to bring a ria, is not an obligation that's on the akarkafta the gavra. It's not a chi of gavra. It's not an obligation that's on the person. It's a condition. It's a tenai. It's the fulfillment. It's part of the fulfillment of presenting yourself in the azara. Normally, a carbon, there's an obligation, a person, an individual, has an obligation to offer a carbon. For whatever reason, it's Yom Tif, you have to bring a chagiga. The woman had a baby, she has to bring a carbon. There could be other reasons why you have to bring a carbon. If a person has a chiyuv to bring a carbon, we treat it as a monetary obligation, it's a chiyuv carbon, and even if the person, le'aleinu, passes away, his estate, there's a lien on the estate, and the Beis HaMikdash can come and demand that carbon from the estate. There's an obligation on the estate, whether or not the carbon was consecrated in the lifetime of the person. But the mitzvah of Re'iyah, according to the Rambam, is very different. There's no obligation on the person, on the Gavra. It's part and parcel of the mitzvah of Re'iyas Pnei Azara. It's the mitzvah of going into the Azara that's Mechayiv the carbon. So it turns out that there's no personal obligation to bring the carbon. The carbon is simply an outgrowth. It's a condition. It's part of the mitzvah of entering the Beis HaMikdash. When you enter the Beis HaMikdash, you can only fulfill that mitzvah if you bring a carbon. So according to that understanding, it's very clear that there would not be a lien on the assets, because it's not a freestanding obligation on the Gavra. It's simply part of the fulfillment of entering the Azara. And since the person passed away without being mafresh the carbon, there's nothing to obligate anybody to bring the carbon on his behalf. If the person was mafresh the carbon, that's why you have to bring the carbon, because the carbon is just lying around doing nothing. But if the person was not even mafresh the carbon, there's no freestanding obligation to simply bring a carbon. It's part of the fulfillment of entering the Azara. Such a mitzvah does not create a lien on the property. Now, the Tosfos says that also explains why there wouldn't be Bal Tosif now on the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Because the mitzvah of Chagiga is an obligation on the person. If the person would bring multiple Chagigas with the intent of fulfilling multiple Chiyuvim, that would be Bal Tosif. That's a violation of Oso. But if the person enters the Azara multiple times, the carbon is simply the proper etiquette, so to speak. It's the proper way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Re'iyah, and that's why there wouldn't be Bal Tosif. I wanted to just add one thing, that in item Yud Dalid, Tosfos in Chagiga says a very interesting thing. Tosfos in Chagiga brings a Yerushalmi. The Bavli, like we said, says that there's no Isser of Bal Tosif to bring the Re'iyah multiple times, like we're explaining, because it's part and parcel of the mitzvah to enter the Azar. The Yerushalmi says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, there is an Isser Bal Tosif to bring a Re'iyah multiple times. What's the Machlekes? Tosfos explains that the Bavli holds that there's no price tag attached to the Re'iyah. There's no requirement to spend any specific amount of money to purchase the Re'iyah. The halacha that you only have to use a silver coin is rabbinic. Midrabanan, there's no price tag at all. Even if you manage to find an animal for a Shavah Pruta, there's no price tag at all. You can use that animal for your carbon Re'iyah. The shear of Ma Kesef, of a silver coin, is only rabbinic. However, the Yushalmi holds that the shear of Ma Kesef, the silver coin, is a biblical chiyuv. It's a chiyuv d'oraisa. So the Bavli says that there's no price tag, there's no minimal price, there's no minimal value that the carbon Re'iyah has to have, but the Yushalmi holds that there is a minimal value of Ma Kesef midoraisa. The carbon has to be at least worth a Ma Kesef. So Tosfos has an interesting plea. Tosfos says something interesting. If there's a minimal cost in the carbon, there's a shear in the value of the carbon, then the carbon is subject to Bal Tosif. That's the Yushalmi. But if there's no minimal value requirement in the carbon, like the Bavli holds, so then the carbon Re'iyah is not subject to Bal Tosif. That's what Tosfos says. Now, what would this distinction be? What difference does it make? What does one thing have to do with the other? What is the fact? So what's the difference? There you go. So what does Tosfos mean to say? Why should whether or not there's Bal Tosif, why should that depend on whether there's a minimal requirement value in the carbon? What does one thing have to do with the other? Seemingly, it's two different issues. But the way we're explaining it, it fits perfectly. If you hold that there's no minimal requirement in the value of the carbon, then it lends itself to say that the carbon is simply an accompaniment to the mitzvah of Re'iyah. There's no independent chiyuv carbon. That's why there's no Bal Tosif. But if you hold like the Yushalmi, which the Yushalmi actually holds that the mitzvah's Re'iyah is distinct from the mitzvah of Re'iyas Pnei Azara. It's two separate mitzvahs. Not only is it two separate mitzvahs, there's also a minimal value in the carbon requirement, which means that it's an independent obligation. It's not just part and parcel of the mitzvah oilas riyas pnei azara. It's a separate mitzvah. It's an obligation. It's a chiyuv gavra. It's a chiyuv carbon. So then the Yushalmi, the Shitasai, holds that there will be an iser of Baal Toysit. So that could be a deeper understanding between the mitzvah of Chagiga and the mitzvah of Re'iyah. So like we said, Pesach is right around the corner, so we should be zoicha taka to that the Mashiach should come in time for us to bring a Karban Chagiga, Karban Re'iyah, and we should be zoicha to Riyas Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu, v'mehir v'yameinu, Amen.